want y'all to stand with me for the reading of the Word of God. We're going to read several verses. We're not going to read all of the verses tonight, amen, but we are going to read several verses and then deal with some aspects of this area of the song of a soul set free. The song of a soul set free. Let me know when you get there. You'll find out when you're there is if you look back one chapter and find Psalms 106. Amen. Then you'll know that you're in the right area. By the way, this is good material and nobody's laughing. And maybe it's because y'all are too far away because this is good stuff here. Amen. My wife said, please don't make too many jokes. Well, with this crowd, wouldn't do any good if it did. Amen. Psalm 107, you there? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible says, watch these three words. Oh, give thanks. Amen. That should get you started off good. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth how long?
Forever.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. How many of y'all are saved here tonight? Say amen.
Amen.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east. How many of y'all from the east coast? From the west. How many of y'all from the west coast? Praise the Lord. You are in trouble, I know, but he got you anyway. Amen. From the north, how many of y'all are Yankees? Amen. You're a Western Yankee.
I'm a little bit of everything.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that too loud. Amen. And from the south, how many of y'all are from the south?
Amen.
Amen. And some of y'all just don't know where you're from, huh? Either way, he says, they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. And these words here, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let's stop there. Father, we do love you and thank you today for your grace and mercy. Thank you, Father, for the privilege that we have, Lord, of serving you. Thank you for the privilege that we have, Lord, of being called yours. Thank you, Father, for the privilege that we have, Lord, to be able to call you our Father and realize that as being your children, there are privileges to that estate, but also there are consequences. And I pray, Father, as you deal with us and get us back to the place where revival is in our spirit, in our soul, where the songs of Zion might be sweet to our heart again, I pray, Father, that as you deal with us, we realize that most of the things, the problems that we are involved in, much of it is of our own hands. Father, you love us. You want the very best for us. So I pray, Father, that as you deal with us, may we come clean with you. May we get our hearts and our minds worthy of you. And Lord, may you, Father, be pleased with your children and deliver us out of the hand of the enemy and bring us safely to the habitation of the Lord. Take charge of us. Forgive me of sin. Forgive me and help me be cleansed of self that I might be your servant. And we'll be careful to give you the praise, honor, and glory. For we pray in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. And amen. You may be seated tonight, folks. It's an interesting psalm. How many of y'all remember when y'all first got saved?
Amen.
Amen. Get happy about it. It's okay. That was a wonderful day. Amen. I remember back in April 1977 in a field in Fort Bragg, North Carolina. At that time, I was involved in being a Jehovah's Witness. Amen. I had convinced my wife that that was a good way to go. I had convinced some of my neighbor friends that that was a good way to go. But once I got out in that field and God got me away from that stuff, he had a fellow out there by the name of Brother Rogers, a staff sergeant, United States Army. And we were out there in the field. And he came over there. He was watching the movie, The Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston. And he was taking his Bible and he was critiquing the movie. He was saying that movie's wrong over here because of chapter and verse and chapter and verse and chapter and verse. And he said, and it's wrong over here because of this. And I said, hey, you know, that's pretty good. I've got a Bible. And I didn't have a Bible. Amen. I had a commentary. and it wasn't even a very good one, but I had this thing that the Jehovah's Witnesses put out called the New World Translation, amen? And I took that over to them. And I tell you, as a Jehovah's Witnesses, they teach you that first and foremost, Jesus is not important for your deliverance. They teach you that heaven is not a destination for your life. They said if you want to really be one of the blessed, you want to inherit the earth. How many of y'all want to inherit this place? I mean, it's trashy. They done tore it all up. It's filthy in a lot of different areas, but God said he's going to destroy it anyway. And so they said, Jesus isn't important. They said, the world is what you want. They said, you're not going to heaven. Only 144,000 are, and you're not included in that group. They said, hell is not real. Hell is just a grave. Don't worry about hell. Don't worry about those things. Don't worry about having an eternal existence someplace, either heaven or hell. Don't worry about those things. They said, because if you're going to be here, you're going to be inheriting the earth and paradise down here. And if not, you will be annihilated. I mean, that means they're going to blow you and blast you into oblivion. Amen? Now, there were some things that was wrong with that doctrine. Number one, it was of the devil. Number two, it was of the devil. And number three, it was of the devil. Paradise, if you study your Bible, is not here on earth. And I had to tell them, if you're going to make it to paradise, the Bible says you got to be caught up to the third heaven. If you don't know what the third heaven is, you got the first heaven, where the birds and the atmosphere is. You got the second heaven, which is where the stars reside, amen, and the planets. And then you got the third heaven, which is where the Lord resides, amen. And folks, if you're going to make it to paradise, you're going to have to go up. They think, oh, no, I'm not going up. There's nothing wrong with going up. I'm looking forward to going up. Amen. As a matter of fact, I'm looking forward to a voice that says, come up hither. Right. Amen. Now, all that's to say this. I got saved in that field because this man, this Brother Rogers, took an old-fashioned Bible, opened it up, and showed me the Lord. Showed me his worth. Showed me that he died on the cross of Calvary for me. Showed me that, in fact, he is Jehovah God. Showed me all of those things. And I trust that Christ is my personal Lord and Savior. And at that time, as the Bible said, he picked me up out of a horrible pit and took my feet out of the miry clay. And he set my foot upon a rock. And like I mentioned yesterday, he put a song in my mouth. And he established my going. Amen. That means once he took me out of that mess that I was in, once he took me out of that foolishness, once he freed that person who was stuck in that clay and put me on the solid rock, he said, now I'm going to establish your going. Now, if you're saved here tonight, let me give you some encouragement. Every last one of you who are saved here tonight got picked up out of a horrible pit. You may not have thought the pit was so bad because you've been in it so long. Amen. Picked up out of the heart, freed from the miry clay, and your feet were set upon a rock. God put a song in your heart and in your mouth, and he established your going. Amen. The problem happens is sometimes we don't like to go the direction that God has for us. Amen. It's okay if I'm just talking to me and the pastor. We're okay because we're at least honest with ourselves to know that we ain't no good, and apart from the grace of God, we ain't never going to be any good. Matter of fact, all of our righteousness, according to the Word of God, are as filthy rags. Amen. So the best I have is no good. Amen. So Pastor Dawson and I are in agreement. Brother White, how about you? Amen. So he's in agreement, amen, that he's no good. And I knew he was no good since I first met him, amen. But that's just my observation. Amen. And so he brings us to a place. He said, I want to establish your going, But some of us, once we get going in that direction, at first it's awesome. It's exciting. Anybody, any man that's in Christ is a new creature. Behold, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And buddy, we begin to take the journey down the road and everything is all good. It's like when the children of Israel first began to eat the manna. Do you realize manna was so good, they were eating it off the ground? Amen. How many of y'all, when your kids go to pick up something off the ground, you smack their hands, put that down. Amen. They were eating it off the ground. They didn't have any problem with it. But as I mentioned yesterday, after a while, with the mixed multitudes, they said the manna is no longer sweet. It's no longer good. It's like fresh oil.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Amen. Something happened in their life. And everything that was so good before all of a sudden began to be not so good because they began to look around at the people in the land who was around them. And they began to crave what they had. They wanted a king like they had a king. Amen. They wanted to do the things that their king allowed them to do. Because when it came down to it, they thought that the heathens was having more fun than God's people. Amen. And by the way, we still think that way. We think the heathens have more fun. We think, boy, they're out there partying, they're dancing, they're screaming, they're shouting, they're doing Baal worship. They're spinning, they're cutting themselves, they're making sacrifices, they got altars, and everything seems to be good. And we decided that we wanted that too. That's why you got many Christians who are backslidden, amen. They go out into that, they like that, amen. The lights allure them, the devil compels them. And after a while, they realize whatever the world tried to give them has no comparison to everything that they lost. The time when the singing was sweet. The time when the get around fellowship was awesome. The time when you could, you know, when you would sing, "Oh, victory in Jesus," and you meant it.
Right.
Amen. And so what happened was God allowed them, because they wanted the gods of the world, and God tried to keep them away from that, kind of like when you try and raise your children in church and they determine they're going to play in the world. After a while, God gave them what they wanted. Amen. God allowed them to go into captivity, into Babylon. And when they went into Babylon, they got a chance to see what it was like. God said, if you defile the land, I'm going to take the land away from you. And you know what he did? He took them out of Jerusalem and he scattered them all around, to the north, to the south, to the east, to the west. Amen. You don't want to be around the things of God. You don't want to be around the house of God. Let me show you what it's like when you're out of my presence, when you're out of my protection. Let me show you what it's like. And he gave them what they wanted. Amen. They wanted to believe a lie, so they got their prophets to prophesy lies. They didn't want to hear the harsh things about the standards of the word of God. So he sent them prophets to, watch this, to prophesy unto them. He said, don't prophesy unto us right things, prophesy unto us smooth things. Amen. By the way, how many of y'all like smooth preaching over hard preaching? How many of y'all going to tell the truth? Amen. You like smooth preaching over hard preaching?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I know you do. By the way, smooth preaching says this: there's nothing wrong with you. It's the world that's bad. There's nothing wrong with drinking, especially if you do this in moderation. Amen. God didn't say anything about smoking. So why isn't it? If God didn't want you to smoke, why didn't he just say, thou shalt not smoke? Amen. Hey, anybody can preach, whether it be a man, a woman, a boy, a girl, a dog, a cat, anything, and anybody can preach. And by the way, if he'll use a mule, right? And people like that smooth talk. Hey, don't dress up for church. Dress down. Come as you are. Who needs that old pulpit up there? It's in the way. It's a barrier between you and the people. Let's get away from that thing. Amen. Especially the pulpit of wood that he established in Nehemiah. We don't want that thing. Get something plexiglass so we can see through it. Amen. Don't do anything. Just come as you are. And I mentioned that yesterday. Come as you are. Don't worry about it. We're not going to preach about sin. We're not going to preach about hell. We're going to have a good time. Crank up the band. Make it loud. Get everybody oozy, goozy, and easy, squeezy. And let's go ahead and go, oh, come on, y'all can do that. Oh, wave your hands. Y'all can do it. Wave your hands in the air and wrap them around like you just don't care. Say again. That was the BC days, the before Christ. And folks, that's what people want nowadays. And so they want to get over there and they want to be able to let tears roll down their eyes without repenting rolling in their heart. Amen. They want to feel good without getting good. Yeah. And they said that's what they wanted. And God said, that's what you want? You like your Baal worship? You got it. And let them go into captivity. And then something happened. Look at Psalm 137 with me. Just for a moment. Psalm 137, let me know when you get there. Psalm 137 reveals some things. Now, by the way, Psalms are not written in chronological order. Amen. They are just there to record the events of the Psalms, the songwriter, as they dealt with the effects of the problems that they were having. Psalm 137, look at verse number 1. By the rivers of, where's that place there? There we what? Sat down, yea, and what? We wept when we what? We remembered. I remembered when I first got saved. I remembered the church over there. And by the way, Pastor Dawson, I guarantee that people are going to be saved after, as they're in the world. I remembered Shining Light. I remembered Pastor Dawson trying to get us to get right with God all the time. I remembered those things. I remembered the Pastor Pyre. I remembered the singing. I remembered I used to play the piano. I remembered I used to sing in the choir. I remembered I used to work in the nursery. I remembered I used to clean the toilets. I remembered. He said, watch this. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof, for there they that carried us away captive required of us what? A song. A song. Hey, you know that song, Amazing Grace. Come on, sing it with me. No, I can't sing that song anymore. You know that song, Victory in Jesus. Come on, sing it. You're supposed to be a Christian. Now watch here. They required of us a song, and they that wasted us, required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the what? Sing us one of the songs of Zion. Let's hear you sing. Remember, he took you up out of the horrible pit. He took you up out of the miry clay. He set your foot upon a rock. He put a song in your mouth and praise on your lips. Amen. And by the way, the reason why your church isn't what it needs to be, or any church anymore, is not what it needs to be, because when they look to you to hear the song, to hear the praise, it's not there. Why? Because we are overwhelmed in Babylon. Right. We're sitting down in Babylon. Because remember, I told you three Babylons are going to be dealt with in Revelation. Religious Babylon. And I don't know about y'all, but I am tired of religion. Amen. I am tired of religion. And I don't care what denomination you want to call yourself. I am tired of religion. How about economic Babylon? I'm tired of hearing about how bad things are. Because guess what? If you're saved and you're right with God, one thing you won't be missing is a meal. Because the righteous ain't begging bread. Amen. One thing you won't have to worry about, he said, the bones of the righteous shall be made fat. You're not looking at a fat gut, you're looking at big bones. And so I don't have to worry about that if I'm being right with God, no matter what the economic conditions are. As a matter of fact, I don't have to worry about any of it because he says he gives me joy unspeakable, full of glory. He gives me a peace that passes all understanding. So I'm not worried about the economy. I'm not sitting up there watching, oh, what's the economy going to do today? It doesn't bother me whatsoever about the thing. As long as I go down to the Safeway or the Kmart or Walmart and get me some food to eat, I'm fine. Amen. I don't need a whole lot of things. And guess what? As bad as this political situation is, I know God's going to let whoever get up there to make sure we stay. By the way, could I remind you of something here? And preacher, I know about the time you told me. He kind of put that subtle hint out there when I was out there in the hallway. We're going to give Pastor Ben enough time so he can get us out in reasonable time, knowing that we have children who go to school in the morning. And that's his way of saying, please keep it short. Amen. And I heard that. Amen. Amen. I heard that. But being in Babylon, we sat down. Amen. I'm not worried about the political situation because God's still going to put the person in there that he's going to allow to put in there. When Nebuchadnezzar made the idol, the children of Israel, the children of God, were in captivity. And he told them, guess what? You're going to be in captivity. Jeremiah, he told them, you're going to be in there for 70 years. Amen. And he said, when you go through this captivity, you're going to go through six generations of captors. One of them was going to be Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians. You were going to go through the Medo-Persians. Amen. The Medes and the Persians. You were going to go through Alexander the Great and the Grecians. Amen. You were going to go through the Romans. You were going to have a mixed empire. And then you're going to come back to where you're going to have a revived Roman Empire. But you're going to be in this captivity. You're going to be going through changes that God's going to allow all of these rulers to be over you. Why? Because that's what you wanted.
That's right.
You didn't want revival if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked way. Then will I hear from heaven, heal their land, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Right. But we didn't want that. Give us Barabbas. Amen. So he said there's going to be phases of your captivity. And some of them you think you're going to be released. Like Cyrus. You thought, man, Cyrus is here. He's going to let us rebuild the kingdom. Yeah, he let you rebuild the king. He let you rebuild the temple. But you were still under captivity. The Romans, they're going to free us from Cyrus. They're going to liberate us from those folks over there. Sure, they liberated you from them. But they kept you captive for them.
That's right.
Amen? So, y'all with me so far?
Amen.
Okay. I was going someplace. Okay, up here. After they went through all of these type of things, these captivities, after they went through all of these things, God says, they lost a song. They said their hearts, because they wanted this type of world, they lost the song. It used to be Christians sang awesome songs. Amen. Nowadays, I don't know what they're singing. We didn't have these song books. I don't know what people are singing anymore. Some of them just don't even sing anymore. You know, makes me want to stomp. Take it and stomp. And what are you stomping for? Amen. But we call that gospel music. And by the way, there's no such thing as gospel music. Sorry to inform y'all. I don't care if it's Southern gospel. I don't care if it's American gospel. There's no such thing as gospel because that music doesn't save you. The gospel saves you. The gospel is the death, burial, and what? Amen. That's the good news. Not, hold on, help is on the way. Hold on. That ain't going to save you. That ain't going to save you. Amen. So the song went away. And now all of a sudden, God comes over there and watch this. He starts liberating them. And when he starts liberating them, he starts breaking the bonds and the chains of those who had them. Nebuchadnezzar had a death grip on them, but all of a sudden he started breaking Nebuchadnezzar away. And then the Medo-Persians, and he broke them away. Alexander the Great and the Greek, he broke them away. The Romans and all that, he broke them away. And all of a sudden Israel now found themselves in their own homeland, in their own capital city again. They find themselves in a position where they can worship God freely once again. By the way, it was so awesome when he did it that And it happened in such a way that God said, let me tell you, when the end is going to be right near the door. He said, when the times of the Gentiles is fulfilled, and Israel, Jerusalem, will now be in the hands of the Jews once again. If y'all don't know when that happened, it happened around 1968. Amen. That's when, for the first time in several millennia, the Star of David was flown over the city of Jerusalem. Isn't that awesome? Amen. Now, all that's to say this. All of a sudden, there's singing and praising going on again. And God says, that's what it's all about. Getting us back to a place where your soul was set free. Getting back to that place where that song meant something to you. Getting back to that place where serving God was something that you wanted to do, as opposed to something that you felt you had to do. Amen? Well, you actually loved singing. See, believe it or not, folks, I love singing. And I love singing the songs of Zion. I don't even know the modern songs. And by the way, there's times when I get so happy, I don't even know what the songs I'm singing now. I'll make up words. Amen. I'm leading the song. I lead the song for our church, and I'm getting in there. Oh, victory. And I'll forget. I'll get happy. Get off that verse. And I repented. And that ain't even the verse we're on anymore. Amen. I done just shot back over to something. And the songs that the choir sings, I get to singing them. And the ladies begin to say, shh, pastor, that's the ladies' part. They can hear you. Amen. And my response to them is, if you sang it louder, they wouldn't hear me. I get excited about singing the songs of Zion. Why? Because my soul has been set free. Now, let me show you some things here. Now, I told y'all we were going to deal with this song here. It's going to be a series for us. Amen. We're going to deal with basically four things. Amen. I'll tell you this, my team, the Eagles, they won on Sunday, and they beat this other team up really bad. And the coach was coming over there, and he was saying, there are three things that we did right. Anybody find any problem with that? There are three things that we did right, amen? And so I'm going to tell you there are four things that we're going to deal with, amen? And you can write them down. We're going to deal with the praising for salvation. We're going to deal with the portraits of salvation. We're going to deal with the principles of salvation. And then we're going to deal with the pondering of salvation. Y'all got those? You sure? Now, it all stems from one verse. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. In this one psalm, he's going to give you several areas where you and I need to come to the place where we are thanking God. Look at verse number 8. He says, oh, that men would what? Y'all can say it. Oh, that men would what? Praise the Lord. Look down there a little further. Look at verse number 15. He says what? Oh, that men would what? Praise the Lord. Look over there on the other side in verse number 21. He says what? Oh, that men would what? Y'all still with me here? Look down here a little further. Look at verse number 31. What does he say?
Oh, that men would praise the Lord.
Now, four times he's saying, he's going to give you situations to look at. And he said, man, if you only recognize, if you only remember what God brought you through, you can't help but praise the Lord. Amen. And he's going to also give you four areas in here where he's going to teach you how to pray effectively. What are you talking about? He's going to give you situations down here, and then he's going to say this here. Look at verse number 6. He said, once they came into those situations, he said, then they cried unto the Lord. Amen? Look down here a little further. Look at verse number 13. It says what? Then they cried unto the Lord. They're effectively praying now, and their prayers mean something. Look at verse number 19. Then they prayed unto the Lord. Look down here a little further in verse number 28. What happened? Then they prayed unto the Lord. He said, oh, that you would praise the Lord. But he said the reason why they started praising the Lord is because once they found themselves in these situations, once they cried out to God, once God brought them through these situations, amen, He says you got every reason to praise God. By the way, how many of y'all got a reason to praise God today?
Amen.
I mean, you got a great reason to praise God. Amen. Amen. You do? What's your reason for praising the Lord today?
Here.
You're here. Praise the Lord. That's a good reason. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. What's your reason to praise the Lord, sister? You got up there? Well, that was his. Come on, you got to do better than that. Is that all you got to praise him about? No.
I'm saved.
You're saved. Praise the Lord. Amen. What's your reason to praise the Lord, Brother White? You just praise the Lord. How about you back there on the camera? Amen. By the way, I got a lot to be praised for. God gave me a wife. And the Bible said, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Some of y'all, man, come on, look at me. I'm trying to help you out here. Amen. I'm trying to give you a good night to go home with, but you don't want to listen. Amen. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. I'm going to heaven. I'm saved. Folks, God gave me a family that is bigger than I can ever imagine. When I come to Shining Light, I'm not just coming to visit people. I'm coming to be with family. Amen. And so as he's going through these things, he gives us four areas teaching us about effective prayer. Four areas where he tells us about how we need to praise the Lord. Amen. Four areas for these things here. Now, tonight I'm just going to deal with one. Amen. So we're in good shape. I got, everybody look at your watch. You should have 7 o'clock. Is that right? Amen. Put your watch away. You won't have to look at it again. You'll know when I'm finished. As you look down through here, we're going to look at verses 1 through 3, and we're just going to break it apart just a little bit. I wish we'd had more time, but we want to go through what we got here right now. Amen. And the first thing we're going to deal with is the fact that the praising for salvation. The praising for salvation. Amen. The first few verses of the psalm serve as an introduction to the rest of the psalm, and it calls for us to praise the Lord. Amen. He says to give thanks to him. Amen. And number one, he deals with number one, the mandate for the praise. Amen. He says this. He says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Why? For he is good. The mandate for the praise. This is not an option. This is not a request. Could you please praise God? It is a commission. It is a commandment. Oh, give thanks. If you realize what God's done for you, if you really say that you're thankful that he woke you up this morning, he said that you should just thank God just for getting up. He said, oh, that men would praise, give thanks unto the Lord. The mandate for praising him. We are to give thanks to God. That includes thanking God for your meals. How many of y'all thank God for the meals you had today? How many of y'all had good food today and just bowed your head and said, thank you, Lord? Amen. I tell you, I had to bow my head and pray after they prayed in here, because when I got my food over there, my plate was piled up all high, and I had my cake and I had all those things, and my wife looked at me. She hates eating with me in public because she knows I'm going to get everything I need right now, because I don't know how y'all eat. Amen. Y'all may go over there and eat it all up. There was a blueberry pie that the young lady over here made, amen, and I got me a little piece of it, amen. And I said, Pastor Dawson, did you taste any of that blueberry pie? And he went back to get it, and it was gone. It was gone. And you know what? As they mentioned it was gone, I started eating off mine. Well, it's pretty good, you know. It's gone, but, you know, the only thing I can say is God's been good to me. I don't know what the devil's been doing for you, amen. It was gone. I went back there and they had all these different varieties of the Oriental, the Asian meals that was up there. And I was eating them. And my wife said, you got so much of it there. You could go back. And it's like, no, I can't. It might not be anymore. Hey, folks. It includes thanking God for our meals, thanking God for everything that happened to us, thanking God for you getting here tonight, thanking God for the hard time, thanking God for all of those things, amen? The mandate for praising. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. The mode for praising. And the mode that we praise God in is first and foremost thanking God again. Now, what am I talking about? The Bible says that we have a problem. In Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 21, if you look over there, and we're not going to turn there for sake of time, He's telling you about the things that's going to happen in the last days. He's going to tell you how evolution is going to take over. He said, and they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God and made him into an image like unto corruptible man, four-footed beast, and creeping things. He said, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. He said they started leaving the natural use of the woman and burned man for man. And the woman also going with other women. I mean, he talked about the whole thing. And he said here was the thing that set it all off. He said neither were thankful. Neither were thankful. Can I tell you something, folks? One of the biggest problems we have in this United States, in this world, is people aren't thankful. They actually think that they deserve it. They think that they are entitled to it instead of being thankful that somebody cared enough to help them. Even Pastor Dawson, even with the church, they think the church needs to be here for them. Who cares if the lights come on or not? Preacher, you need to make me comfortable. Instead of saying, I thank the Lord for Shining Light Baptist Church. I thank the Lord for my pastor, because the Bible says that he gave gifts to men. Did y'all realize that y'all pastor is a gift? Amen. Amen. Some of y'all saying, where's the receipt? I need to return that. Amen. He's a gift. His family's a gift. Amen. Brother White, Pastor White, he's a gift to the church. The deacons that put in the leadership, they are a gift. But we look at this gift and we say, well, that's not what I was expecting. That's not what I wanted. God didn't ask you to do what you wanted. He said, this is what I put down here for a reason. Shining Light is here as a gift from God. Yeah. Amen. But neither were thankful. And so when things don't go their way, when you're unthankful, what do? You leave it. You go away. You don't appreciate it anymore. You complain about it. All we have is this old manna. Preacher, you need to just let us run things. That's what the Korites said just before the ground opened up and swallowed them in. Neither were thankful. You know, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 5:20, he says that we need to be giving thanks always for all things. Amen? When was the last time you thanked the Lord when you had a migraine? Dear Lord, I thank you for this migraine. It sure reminds me that I have a head. It sure reminds me that pain is a way of you getting in touch with me. Lord, I limp. I limp because right now I had knee surgery and then my heel and my foot messed up. And it won't stop me from preaching. Sometimes I get up in the morning and I can't hardly walk. But the Lord allows me to keep going. And you know what? I thank him for that, amen? Because I can identify with others who have ailments. And this way I can show them, Lord, just because you got an ailment doesn't mean God's not good. Amen. Giving thanks for all things. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 17 and 18, it says, in everything, give thanks. And he says this, for this is the will of God concerning you. The mode of praising. Thanking God. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. I know you think, man, and he can sing too. Yes, he's the total package. Amen. Hey, folks, not just a mandate, not just a mode for praising. Now, this is all part of that praising for salvation because God saved us. And it's all in that verse number one. Notice the motive for praising. In that verse number one, he said, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. For number one, it says, for he is good, for his mercy, what? Endureth for how long? Forever. The psalmist gives you two great motives for praising God. Number one, God is good. How many of y'all have heard that people say, God is good, and what's the normal response? All the time. Okay, let me teach y'all that because some of y'all seem like you got it and some of y'all looking at me like I got two heads. Amen. God is good. All the time. It's okay. Y'all still say, all the time. See how I did that? All the time. See how I'm excited about it? It's genuine. All the time. God is good. And all the time. Okay, praise the Lord. You just got in the car. The car got into a major accident. You're still paying for the thing, and the thing is totaled out. You didn't have the right amount of insurance on it. God is good. Y'all went silent again. Remember? All the time. Amen. God is good. Amen. You just came up there this morning. Everything was going good. You went into the office. The boss calls you in the office. You think you're getting a raise. And he says, we got to let you go. God is good. And all the time. Some of y'all looking at me. What is he talking about? How this is crazy. Nobody would say God is good in those conditions. When you trust God and you lean not to your own understanding, you don't realize God has something a whole lot better for you. The car that got wrecked, it may have been a Beetle, a Volkswagen, a junker, a hoopty. And God's got a luxury car prepared for you. You don't know what he's got. Or maybe he just let you know. Maybe you need to walk a while so you'll appreciate the traffic laws better. But God is good all the time, and all the time. God is good. Sister Dawson's home with her mother. And her mother's getting ready to step off into eternity. And there's people back there with sadness in their hearts. Even though the Bible tells us that we don't need to have that kind of sorrow as others which have no hope. She's gone back there to be with her mother as she's about to take her last breath. And you know what? God is still good. God is still good. He said one of the challenges that we have a problem with is when things go bad, we forget God is still good. When things don't go our way and we're having problems, we forget that God's still good. And so instead of singing the songs of Zion, instead of taking our heart and strumming the melodies of grace, we start singing the blues. Nobody knows the troubles I've seen. Nobody knows my sorrows. Look at the dark clouds of destiny which hang over my head. Life is so awful. I can't take it anymore. What happened when God was good? All the time? All the time. All things work together for good to them who what? Love God. To them who are the called according to his purpose. Paul, what are you talking about? You're in prison. They beat you. They beat you so bad. They beat you 3 times with 39 stripes. Are you kidding me? All things work together for good. What did that beating get me? It got me into Caesar's presence so I can give the gospel to the Roman leaders. His character, number two, in that motive for praising, his character, his compassion. The Bible said his mercy endureth for how long? His mercy endureth for how long? Watch what he does here. And we're getting ready to stop here in a few moments. I want you to, actually we've got one more point, but it's going to be a few more. Look at Psalm 106, verse number 1. It says, praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is what? For his mercy endureth how long? Forever. Look at Psalm 101 and verse number 1. I will sing of what? I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord. What? Will I sing? Will I sing? Look at Psalm 100 and verse number 5. For the Lord is still what? His what? Mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth for what? His mercy not only took care of me, not only took care of my wife, but my daughter, who they found out later that she had cancer. It took care of my daughter, my son, who fell from a second-story balcony and shattered his wrist in such a way where the bone and thing was sticking out, and he's got metal pins. But God's mercy was still enduring in his life. When it came down to his wife and his baby getting into a car accident so bad that it messed my daughter-in-law's back up, God's mercy still endureth forever. Amen. And so that didn't take our song away. Now my son complains sometimes, but it doesn't take our song away. It doesn't take our song away. Lamentations, if you could just look there, and then we'll get this last point and get it out of the way. I want you to look at Lamentations for a moment. Lamentation. So where's Lamentation? It's in the Old Testament. And it's in your Bible. Lamentation chapter 3. Let me know when you get there. Watch what it says here. Verse number 19. He says, remembering mine affliction and my, what's that word there? Are you on Lamentation chapter 3? Verse 19. Yeah, it's misery. Praise the Lord. I was making sure I wasn't the only one there. Started thinking, did I get the right verse here? Remember my afflictions. He's going through some problems. And his what?
Misery.
He's going through it both mentally and physically. He said the wormwood and the gall, amen, means he's got a bitterness to him. He said my soul hath had them still in what? In remembrance, and is humbled in me. Why? This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I what? Hope. Why? It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Because his compassion is what? I'm going through all kinds of problems, all kinds of challenges, physical ailments with me, working with the VA trying to get things done, and constant pain, and I can't take medication for it. Amen. I can't take painkillers. I took painkillers one time, and I likened to have died. I was one of that percentage that say, you see the commercials, hey, take Xantax. Xantax will cure your ingrown toenails. And then you read the fine print, yeah, it causes sudden bleeding, heart stops, brain aneurysms. It causes all that other stuff. I was one of those people that had that medication that says, hey, look, you could take this here and it will take care of your pain. And then the side effects, sudden bleeding. And that happened to me. I was coming, my wife and I was on a vacation coming back, and my wife's looking at her watch. She says, oh, gotta hurry up. And I will. But this story is important to this, amen. Coming back from this satellite thing, and as I was coming back, I said, I need to stop and use the restroom. Amen. And when I went into the restroom to use the restroom, I never even made it in the restroom good. Got in there and closed the door. And I lost a pint and a half of blood in less than 30 seconds. Amen. And it was one of those things. One minute you're standing upright and the next minute you're just down. And I was in there for a while and I couldn't even get up to the door to cry for help. And my wife finally came and knocked on the door. And she said, honey, are you all right? And for the first time in our 38 years at the time, 37, 38 years of marriage, she heard me say these words, this word, no, I'm not. We finally got the door open and she saw me just sitting there with blood everywhere. It's like a crime scene. There's blood everywhere. It was so much blood it was going under the baseboards. And she had to keep her composure. And I had to keep my composure because I didn't want her to panic. And she went back there. She wanted to make sure she got me out of there. But she also, my wife is a Martha. She wanted to clean the place up. My husband's sick. I need this in. I need some cleaning stuff. She wanted to clean the place up. And she gathers all the blood and the put it in the pants and all that. I just so happened I had an extra set of pants in the car. She gathers that all up and puts it in a plastic bag with all the blood and everything. And she puts it in the car. She helps me get to the car. Amen. She goes in there and cleans up the bathroom. I'm dying. She's worried about, you know, is this shiny enough? I don't know what's wrong with her. Amen. But God's good. She's a gift. Amen. I was telling the dear sister last night, it's one of those things. She said, I got to keep them alone. Honey, stay with me. Where's the papers? The papers. The insurance, where's it at? I'm one of those people. Coming back there, and in less than 30 seconds, I'm in the hospital for 4 or 5 days. They're talking about they may have to give me a transfusion because my blood count was so low. And you know what? All the time in the hospital. You know, you lose a pint and a half of blood, and they're trying to take more blood. I said, you know, if you need blood, go out there. My wife's got a bag of it. She got it up off the floor. Take some of that blood. They said, your veins, we can't get your veins. Of course you can't, because they're empty. It's in the bag. And she didn't, you know. But they still tried. They stuck around there, and I hate needles. I just absolutely hate needles. And finally, and they kept sticking around there, and they put it in there, and they said, okay, let's move it around there and find a vein. Let's not do that. Finally, they went down there and got somebody who was trained, a phlebitis. So she came over there, and she finally found a vein. But they had a phlebotomist. A phlebitis. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now we got all these doctors. Y'all must have stayed at a Holiday Inn Express, you know. Either way you go, the bloodsucker people, they came in there. The vampires. They came in there. They got the blood. And they couldn't find anything wrong with me other than the fact they said, you take this medication? Oh, let me tell you about this here. And they came and put it in the paperwork. And from that point on, they realized, I can't take anything for pain. If I take something for pain, it will take care of the pain because it will kill me. And compared to dying unnaturally, pain is pretty good. Amen. Yeah, I'm still alive. I didn't die yet. Folks, just look here with me, and then we'll get out of this thing here. In that verse back over there, Psalm 107, and look at verses 2 and 3 with me, and we'll close out of here very quickly. Now, we dealt with what? What was the first thing we dealt with in this praising for salvation? We dealt with what? The mandate. What was the next thing? The mode. What was the third thing? The last one is the multitude for praising. Look at verses 2 and 3. He said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. How many of y'all are saved here tonight? See? Y'all are the ones who are supposed to be letting the world know what it's like to be saved. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven, and I'm not ashamed of it. Not only that, he said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. When you got saved from Satan's grip, and you got saved from hell, you should be telling people, hey, I am redeemed. Redeemed how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed how the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed. I ain't joining in at all. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed. His child and forever I am. The crowd for praising. The redeemed. The cause of praising. Because he redeemed me from the hands of the enemy. From the hands of the enemy. And watch this here. Verse 3 as we close. And he gathered them out of the lands from the east. That's me. I'm from the east coast. He saved me. From the west. From the north. From the south, he gathered all the places that they were scattered, and he brought them all back together. He said, oh, they wandered, they did all those things. He said, when God saved you, no matter where you were, it should have given you every motive, every motivation to give thanks unto the Lord. As God challenges us tonight, I want you to think about that just for a moment. Praising for his salvation. Amen. Think about, boy, God's been good to me. Think about, boy, God, what wilt thou have me to do? Let's stand to our feet tonight, just for a few moments. It's revival time with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. It's revival time. And sometimes in order for me to get to revived, I got to remember where I was. I got to remember when he saved me. I got to give thanks for what he's already done for me before I start trying to get him to do something else for me. I got to come to the place where I realize even in my present distress, God is still good. The fact that he takes me from challenge to challenge, from faith to faith. Boy, God's mercy endureth forever and ever. When I sing the song, I can sing the song because I have been redeemed. I'm saved. If I've got no other reason to come down to an old-fashioned altar, it's just for this one moment to say once again, when I first came to an altar and got saved, I can say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. How many would say if I was asked tonight, if God was to come back tonight, the Lord come back tonight, or you was to die tonight, you know beyond a shadow of doubt, a shadow of a doubt that you're on your way to heaven, based upon nothing but the word of God. You know that you're saved. You got that testimony. Slip your hand up. Slip it up in testimony to the Lord. I know I'm saved. Let me tell you something, folks. Every one of you that raised your hand, if you got no other reason, you can put them down to come down to an altar. That's a good one. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. These are the ones praising God just for saving them. Just for saving them. When a piano player begins to play, that should be good enough reason for you that the song stir up in your heart. You say, I just want to go take a moment to tell God thank you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for being good to me. Thank you for your mercy. How many would say here tonight, preacher, I couldn't raise my hand because I don't know for sure that if I was to die or if Christ was to come back right now, I don't know for sure that I'd go to be with him in heaven. Pray for me. Being honest with yourself, being honest with the Lord. Pray for me. If you like this, why don't you slip your hand up this evening? Let the Lord deal with your heart as well. He wants to save you. He wants to redeem you. He doesn't care where you're from. He just wants to get you to the place where he's going to, in those next few verses, you'll find out, he's going to take them to a wonderful place. He's going to establish a going in their lives. Anybody like that tonight? I'm going to be honest tonight and say, preacher, my song has changed. I remember when I had the good song. I remember when I was singing all the time. Problems came, life came, all kinds of challenges came, and my song kind of changed its tune a bit. The truth be known, several areas I hung up my harp, but I'm ready to sing again. Let me encourage you. She's going to start playing. Why don't you leave that place of solitude, that place of what you look at as a sanctuary called a pew, and why don't you just make your way down to an old-fashioned altar and say, Lord, I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let them that want to have that song back come back and say, restore unto me, like David said in a psalm, restore unto me the joy. Boy, we serve a great God. Revival is getting that song back. Revival is all about giving God that glory back. Revival is all about getting that dedication back to him. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Father, you know our hearts. As we turn these things over to Pastor Dawson, take charge of us, Lord, even as you already have, because you're good to us. Thank you for mercy's sake.
Amen. As Christians are praying, you take your time in praising God. You know, so many things we can praise the Lord for. Not just our salvation, but he's been so good to us. Don't sell God short on his praises. Just continue to praise him. giving him thanks. So much that he's done for us. Praise God. Praise God. Christians are praying. You let God speak to your heart as well. Just give him thanks. Give him the glory. Thank him for saving you. Giving you a family. Giving you health. It may not be the greatest. May not be what you would like, but you're alive. Giving you fingers, eyes, legs, mouth. Giving you some of us children. Giving you an education. Giving you a job. Giving you finances. Giving you a great church. The ability to praise him. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. He's just been good. For his wonderful works to the children of men. God's been good to us. On a bad day, he's still been good to us. When we're down, he's still good to us. When we don't understand what's going on, he's still good to us. When things seem cloudy, unsure, he's still good to us. God's just good. Just plain old good. Father, thank you for meeting with us tonight, reminding us of how good of a God you truly are. Lord, all we have to do is get a glimpse of the children of Israel and see how blessed they were and how good you were to them. And we look at our own lives and how blessed we are and how good we have it. Lord, help us to follow the admonition that the psalmist gave to the children of Israel and to us by way of the word of God. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Lord, you have been so good to us. Help us to be mindful of that, to leave here a thankful people, a rejoicing people, Lord, not just because we're saved, but that's good enough all by itself. But Lord, many other things have you done for us. And Lord, I pray that we might be able to share that with someone else as we leave here today, just letting them know of the goodness of God in our lives. Lord, we might be able to bring someone back with us tomorrow. They may see the praise on our lips, Lord, and the song in our hearts. Thank you so much for the man of God you've given to us tonight to bring forth the word of God, Lord, and just reemphasizing the importance of a psalm for a soul that's been set free and revived and able to share it with others. And Lord, thank you so much for your goodness. Lord, I pray there's one amongst us that's not received Christ as Savior, not repented of their sins, they would do so before it's everlasting too late. And for Christians, Lord, help us to leave here rejoicing, remembering the goodness of God. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.